Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Support for the Bubba Army Podcast is brought to you by our friends at Manscaped, the leaders in male grooming. Their fourth generation performance package absolutely changed the grooming game, along with their refined body wash to round out your hygiene routine. Join the nearly 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped for their shower time routine by going to manscaped.com for 20% off and free shipping with the code Bubba. Have you smelled Manscaped's refined body wash, fellas? The ladies love their signature scent. You and your boys will be so fresh and so clean when you start off your self-care routine with the ultimate body wash. Keep the grooming game going with the Performance Package 4.0, and inside this package, you'll find the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, Weed Whacker and Nose Trimmer, Crop Preserver and Ball Deodorant, Crop Reviver Toner, Performance Boxer Briefs, and a travel bag to hold all the goodies. The Performance Package 4.0 also includes the Weed Whacker to chop your worst weeds up the top of your nose and ears. Nothing's worse than that nose hair. Again, get 20% off and free shipping with code Bubba at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with the code Bubba at manscaped.com. Keep your balls trimmed, fresh, and clean with Manscaped.
Check one. Oh, this is why Bubba is deaf.
Jesus Christ. Are they turned up really
loud?
Oh,
God. Yes.
Oh.
Yeah. Like halfway up. Mine is like barely a quarter. Hello?
Hello.
Hello, spouse.
Hi.
There it is. We're live?
We are. We is.
Beautiful. Let me just get us. I like to see our face. I like to see our faces. Helps me concentrate. Excuse me.
Hi.
Hi. Thank you. Thanks for showing up. What's... Okay, beautiful. Hello and welcome to the after show. It's not off the rails. It's but well, it I feel like it could be, but it's not. It's on a Blitz and Lummy today. Mm-hmm. Bubba's on his way to Ocala because he's got racing shit. He's got to get on the grader and
He says he's going to make a podcast, a greater cast.
Yes, a greater cast. Talking about, I know his exes did really well, so he might be talking about something along those lines.
I believe it's when he met Heather.
When he met Heather.
At,
beautiful.
What was it, Livestock?
I think it was some sort of event. I remember a bus was involved. That's all I really know and remember. I do want to give a shout out to Precision John. We're going to be in Blummel will be in the area, and I really want to thank you because yesterday I talked a little bit about the bridal shower wedding gift caper. Ordered a cutting board with engraved names, and you know, UPS tells you that they're going to attempt three times. That's a lie. I don't even think they made one attempt. But they sent it back to wherever it came from, and I was shit out of luck. And Precision John and Blitz really helped put it together for me to do something special for my friends. So
a few people offered. I know Rainbow Rick offered and stuff, but we're going to be in that area anyway. And
yeah,
John
so,
stepped up, and we appreciate that.
So thank you to everyone that offered, Rainbow Rick and who else, everybody else, and Precision John. Very much appreciate it. And doing it last minute. And again, it wasn't my fault. I planned it out. It was all good to go until it wasn't good to go. So yesterday, went and picked something up, and they're helping me get that done. So much appreciated. This weekend is exciting because I have my friend's bridal shower, and then it is baby's first Easter, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm actually going to be celebrating the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus M. Christ. No, I don't think he had a middle name.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. With Blitz, because Blitz is a very God-fearing man.
Absolutely.
Wow, I'm very surprised on that.
Yeah,
I've been to church three times, including weddings.
Yeah, and he's like always talking about Jesus. He's like, Jesus fucking Christ. He's talking about him all the time. So I'm like, okay, all right. right.
I'm like, JFC.
I hear about this guy all the time. Like, yep. Let's do something. So we are actually celebrating, I believe it's the resurrection, right? Lemmy, you're the biblical scholar here.
I thought they said the insurrection.
No, that's on January 6th.
Damn it.
Easter's in spring.
I got my dates mixed up.
Silly boy.
You can learn how Jesus rose from the dead after being 3 days in there.
So he's rotting for 3 days, and then all of a sudden his body was gone? Is that the story?
That's not the story. The story was that there was two Roman guards that were blocking the
Romans,
site.
Man.
Yeah, who? Which Romans?
Yeah, which Romans? Was it Marcus Aurelius?
No, it was Commodus.
Lucilla. Sorry, we've been watching the Roman Empire. Sorry, back to you, Lummy. Back to you. Yes.
There's two Roman guards standing put. And I guess there's a big angel of light that came down and blinded. The angel was so bright that the guards couldn't see, and the angel rolled away. So when the Romans came back,
the big boulder was gone.
Yeah, the boulder was moved over. And Jesus was gone.
Jesus was gone.
Yeah,
never to be found again.
Well, technically, like Mary Magdalene. Sorry. And his disciples.
Who the fuck is that?
Sorry.
Magdalene. Just be talking about these people like I know who they are.
Mary Magdalene was, I believe, the prostitute that she was.
Jesus fucked a prostitute?
No, he was friendly. Well, there's rumors that he might have had sexual relations with Mary Magdalene, but.
Who hasn't?
Well, yeah, obviously at that point.
And her name was Mary, too.
Yeah, and then he ran into a couple of the other women that were in his life. Along the way, and then before he went up into back to heaven, he visited his disciples who were in hiding, and that's where the Holy Spirit came about, and then they started speaking in tongues. And
I thought it was a day
stuff.
You just like eat food and hang out with friends and family. What's all this?
So speaking
religious
in tongues,
nonsense.
Yeah,
Holy Spirit, the Trinity. This is what. Would you say Easter is the second most important holiday on the Christian calendar behind Christmas? Or is it even more holy? I don't know.
Well, no, because you got obviously Christmas is supposed to symbolize the birth of Christ.
You know, wasn't he born during like a harvest? I think it was in October. Again, the date's all wrong.
It's when they celebrate.
Sure, okay,
so,
fair enough.
So, I mean, then this is where he rose after he died on the cross, saving all our sins.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, you can kind of go back and forth.
Okay, what do you do on Easter? Do you go to church at all? I feel like you don't, but you know a lot because you went to Christian or Catholic. You went to Christian school growing up.
Yeah, Christian school, and I went to church a long
Jesuit.
Time.
Jesuit? Did you go to a Jesuit?
No, well, that's a Catholic school.
That's Catholic, right?
Yeah.
Right. Okay, I get them all confused. So what do you typically do on Easter, Lummy? How do you celebrate? Do you have to go house to house, you know, between every fucking sporting event? You're going to six different Easters. I feel like, you know, you guys are very kind of family oriented, which is good, but not that you necessarily like your family, but you always have to kind of pay lip service and like show up for 20 minutes, have a snack and leave and go to the next one.
Yeah, well, this year's different. Normally that's what we would do.
Yeah.
So now we are having everyone come over to our house.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they're all going to make the trek up to there. And nice. Then we're going to have like a dinner, or not dinner, but like a late lunch or whatever.
So
yeah.
Is Ashley doing the most of the cooking and stuff, or?
Yeah, I'm going to help out a little bit. The problem is that everybody eats something different in
this
family.
Right, we got gluten intolerances and dairy-free and vegetarians and fucking vegans and
now,
keto.
Are her parents coming over to help cook or anything?
They're going to bring sides along with my parents are going to bring sides because my mom has to eat certain things.
That's sweet.
My dad and I can eat the same thing.
So, like, bring your own shit is what it should be.
The stuff, you know, sides. And then, I mean, it's going to be, I mean, there's going to be a lot of food.
You want to eat it, bring it. So,
exactly.
So it's going to be, okay, and you're obviously your parents know each other. Like, your parents know her parents. They've met before.
They've met, yeah.
Okay, and do they get along reasonably well? Or?
Yeah, they don't. They like each other.
Okay.
No, I've never met your parents, but I've met her parents a couple times.
Yeah,
and they're cool.
Yeah, no, yeah. Her parents are really cool.
And they cooked that deal at Tampa Palms, like that food that was there, other than like the, you know, catered stuff, like the rest of it, like they cooked a lot of that.
Yeah. they're old school Italian. They like to cook.
Yeah.
My brother's coming with his girlfriend, so that should be fun.
Okay.
So
I've heard good things about her.
Oh, really?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, about his girlfriend. Yeah.
Yeah. Not about him, but about the girlfriend of her good things.
He's going to be at your house?
Yeah, he's coming over too. So it's going to be one big family.
One big happy family. So how on a scale of 1 to 10, how much are you dreading this? Because I can fucking tell you are paranoid as fuck.
I mean, I
you got in-laws, you got parents, you got brothers that you're not fans of, you got girlfriends, you got a baby, you got a wife, you got foods, everybody's eating different shit. Sounds like a fucking nightmare.
The problem is that communication level on from certain people that possibly maybe related to me, the communication on what they were planning on doing if they were coming over was possibly delayed to the fact now that we're scrambling to get everything put together.
What is that?
Yeah, what does that mean,
In
English.
The tables are
in English,
late?
What does that mean?
the chairs are being delivered not on time?
I stepped my foot down and I said, I'm not leaving the house. You guys can come here. So they decided to come over this week.
But begrudgingly. Like, it's not like, oh, yay, we're going to Lummi's or Warren's. Where it's like begrudgingly like, oh, this fucker isn't going to come to us, so we got to go to him.
Yeah, pretty much. Let's say it that way. But then it's also now they gave me a couple days and now it's go get food and... Just
now you have to clean the house. So you got to clean the house, mow the lawn.
Yes.
This wasn't the plan then.
This was the plan like from probably 2 weeks ago.
Oh, okay. So you've had 2 weeks then.
Well, they didn't give me an answer if they were coming. So then we were just going to, you know, hang out at the house and have her parents over.
But
yeah.
Okay, I got it. But you're still having, there's still going to be like an Easter deal at your house.
Yeah.
Yes, okay. but now there's more guests.
Yeah, now there's four more people coming, which, and they all eat different things too, which just makes it that much more difficult.
Now, is your brother a picky eater?
He's somewhat a vegan.
He's somewhat a vegan.
Well, because now that he has his new girlfriend, he is a little bit more open to eating outside the vegan. But he still likes to eat healthy.
It's
so confusing.
The vegan eater.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's usually the opposite.
Yeah,
exactly. And she will eat anything, which is fine because that's me and my dad. So we
does she look like she eats anything?
No, she's.
Be honest.
No. She's really cool. Like, she's just a normal.
She'd be cooler, but she could also be 400 pounds.
No, she's not even. No, she's not close.
Okay.
No, he said she would eat anything, not she would eat everything.
Yeah. Like, well, she doesn't mind eating like a steak or a ham.
I see. Okay. You know, okay.
What's that like? Let me.
I was gonna say,
because you don't know either.
True, that's right. We have.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
I mean, my spaghetti that we made yesterday had meatballs in it, and hers didn't. So it's like, got to have it two separate.
You
got to
have it
dishes.
All. Mm-hmm. You got to have it all. So I feel like this is gonna be a heat getter, which is why I kind of want to talk about it. But I mean, whatever. They're gonna find out about it anyways.
What heat?
I'm not saying that there is heat. I fear that there may be heat when certain people, Bubba, find out about this. They may be a little perturbed because we've had threats before about, you know, possibly stealing his friends or something.
Oh, okay. I didn't know where you were going. Okay. Gotcha.
We've been invited to celebrate the rising, is that what you say? The resurrection?
Resurrection of Jesus.
Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, at the household of Krista and Steve Diaco.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Yeah, and I imagine that Dan and his family and Jay and his family may also be in attendance. So we may be celebrating Easter with the Diacos, all of them. I don't know how many people are going to be there, but it's going to be a big Easter soiree.
Oh,
and we'll be in attendance, and Chris has been planning this for at least a month, so there's a lot of planning that goes into this, because there's probably going to be a lot of people. It's probably going to be a party.
It's going to be at Steve's house?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
And I was
hesitant. What does that mean, Lummi?
Oh, no, because you know how Dan did it, you know, at his, Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
So I didn't
know. They rotate.
I didn't know if they rotated or not.
It sounds like they do, but I didn't know who else was invited or not invited, but Krista reached out to us. She casually mentioned it when we went to go see the air show at the Diaco Dock.
Mm-hmm.
And then she followed up, I think, last week or the week before that, you know, asking us, did you guys really want to come over? If you don't, no problem. Or if you have other plans, no problem. But if you are available, we'd love to have you. So Blitz and I were like, let's do it.
Yeah.
Let's celebrate Easter with the Diacos. It sounds like a good time and a beautiful home with lovely food and people. So we're going to do it. I didn't ask if anybody else was invited to said, you know, Easter soiree.
Yeah, we don't even know if Dan's invited.
Right. And he lives next door. So we'll see.
Although we were told to park it in Dan's driveway.
Right. And walk over. Mm-hmm. Hopefully we can make it.
Might need to call an Uber.
Mm-hmm.
Steve doesn't even walk over. He drives. And Dan takes the electric skateboard over there. Well, it's like, come on.
They have the golf cart you could take.
I know.
With the flames.
Like, and you've been there. Literally,
it is across the street.
It is across the street. Yeah. And it's not like, you know, a half a mile down the driveway.
Nope.
And then a half. Steve's house is 15 feet off the road. And then there's 25 feet of road, and then Dan's is maybe 100 feet past that. So it's not like, I mean, like, literally walking at a slow pace, you could get there in 45 seconds, maybe?
Yeah. It's pretty
They
pretty
literally
close.
Drive back and forth, and, like, last time we were over there, Dan's like, I'll be right back, I gotta go to Steve's, and he took the electric skateboard. It's like, really? Like,
he wanted. So when we were filming, remember the Diaco when I was
from
filming?
When
he was gonna race you? We're doing the Rocky thing.
Yeah.
So we went over. We had to use Steve's gym at mm-hmm. the time because he had the treadmill.
Okay, for training, yep.
So his go-kart or golf cart wasn't working, and he's like, well, I can't drive the – like, he was kind of upset. He couldn't take the electric skateboard because I was still there, and he had to walk over
God
there.
Forbid.
And it was almost like it was weird.
Hey, let me, for real, how long did it take to walk? Even from the back carriage house, like, which is the farthest part of Dan's property.
Maybe a minute with traffic?
Right.
Yeah.
If there's traffic on that road, right. A minute.
Which makes it, that's the funny part.
Go ahead.
No, like literally it's a minute.
Mm-hmm. No, it's very, very close. Obviously you could look out the window and you guys can wave at each other and you could see, there.
You're like, hey, can I borrow some eggs? Yeah, let me throw them over to you. Yeah. Like, yeah.
It's very close. Dan has got probably the best body for someone who's done zero working out ever. It's impressive how good it is for how little he does.
He did tell me like a week or two ago, he's like, man, I really worked out the other day. I was like, you did? He's like, yeah, I spent like, I think he said like 40 minutes at the gym. He's like, but I'm good for like 6, 7, 8 weeks.
Jeez.
Yeah, I think he said he worked out, was it 4 times in 2021?
Yeah.
I mean, that's impressive.
He works like 4 or 5 times a year, that's it.
Yeah, just quarterly, once every 3 months.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's impressive. So I don't know, I'm almost certain Bubba doesn't know about us.
Well, he usually spends time at either his sister's, or Jane comes over.
But that's not the point. The point is you want the invitation. That's what everybody is after. Not necessarily if you go or not. It's about it getting the invitation. If Bubba can't go because he has his own stuff with his family, that's fine. But if he didn't even get the invite,
has he normally gone over there?
I don't know, but he's probably not happy that we are.
But he probably has got the invite before, too.
Maybe that's a thing. Maybe they just know that he goes over to his mom's house.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm sure that's probably what it is.
Yeah.
That's probably what it is. I also talked to Reagan, and she is down for the gauntlet that we'll be doing. Yes. It's going to be probably in the middle of May, I think, because every Sunday up until then we've got stuff going on. But that should be good. But I do kind of want to make it a competition because that just makes it more fun, right? Like, I don't know if we can do it in terms of time or in terms of, like, if we have judges or something, but I feel like there needs to be something on the line where a winner is announced because I want to win.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm so used to losing. I'm so used to being humiliated lately when I go to Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and just get my... I got submitted maybe... 3 or 4 times in 5 minutes, I believe it was a 5 minute roll. Now, granted, I was rolling with someone who was a lot heavier and male, but I mean, I was just getting thrown around like a rag doll to the point where I just started laughing. Like if you've ever like started getting choked or an armbar and you just start laughing, like that's what it's like because there's just nothing you can do, and at a point you just kind of you feel defeated, and it becomes a little bit funny. And tomorrow, Matt Arroyo and my instructor, Jeff, will be in for the last probably, 45 minutes of the show. So that's exciting. I am a little bit, concerned about it. Not so much that they'll be in and they'll be talking to Bubba and stuff, but, there'll be some stunts involved.
You're going to choke Lemmy out a few times.
I don't want to choke anybody out. I don't want to be choked out.
Stable pops out of his neck.
But I'll do whatever Bubba asks just to, I'm more scared of Bubba being mad at me than, getting choked out or passing out or anything like that. So we'll do what needs to be done. It'll be cool. My professor is what we call him. Mm-hmm. My instructor, Professor Jeff, is so excited to come on the show. He's been mentioning it several times during each class and instructing every, you know, he'll give some talk about, you know, a lesson, either, you know, the technique or whatnot, and then just kind of like a general lesson about jiu-jitsu and how to keep your spirits up. And then he's like, and by the way, don't forget to, you know, like follow, and subscribe, because I'll be on the Bubba Love Sponge show. And I was talking to Blitz about this, but, you know, this is our job, obviously, and we do it every day, and we're very thankful to do it every day because it's a lot of fun. But the, like, the zhuzh, like, the excitement of it, with anything, I think, not just radio, but it tends to dissipate pretty quickly. Like, the, like, holy shit, I'm on the air aspect of it all kind of dissipates quickly, as with any job, because you just get used to it. It's your job.
Yeah.
You know, imagine even like you live in Tom Bean's condo, right? Wherever it may be.
Mm-hmm.
And the first time you're there, you're like, holy shit. But then if you live there and that's home, you get used to it.
Yeah, that's just what it is.
Yeah, and you could still be like, this is beautiful, but it's not. It's those moments are become like a moment of reflection. You know what I mean? It's not mm-hmm. like you walk in the house and you're like, oh my God, like when we walked in and we're like, Jesus Christ, the printer has its own bedroom? That's insane.
Yeah.
You know, so seeing Jeff that excited to like be on the air, I'm like, that is super cool that, you know, people think that my job is that cool.
Sure.
I guess. So it got me excited to be on the radio again. So I was kind of like living vicariously through him, even though he's like, you know, marking out to our job. So it was cool. So we're going to have him on tomorrow. I'm excited about that.
Is he a normal like listener? Like, has he started since you started going there or?
No, he's been in the area. I think he's originally a Masshole. He doesn't talk like he's from the Departed or anything like that, but I think he's from the Northeast, and he's been down here, I think, for probably maybe almost 20 years. I think he started doing jiu-jitsu here. So he was like, it's been at least 15 years since he's been in Florida.
Nice.
So he's familiar with Bubba Love Sponge, and he's a big fan of stand-up comedy, and, you know, he's a big fan of Bill Burr. We talk about stuff like that. And he's just he's a fun guy. He's a cool guy. He's a great instructor. And you could just tell it's cool to be around someone who really enjoys what they do, because I think that is very rare these days to see someone do a craft or a job and really get a lot of fulfillment out of it. Because a lot of people don't. A lot of people hate their fucking lives. Maybe a lot of you listening hate your lives. And maybe I don't blame you if you have something that's just kind of boring. But What video were we looking at with the people in the cubicles and stuff like that? Do you think you could work in that sort of environment, Lummy, where you're just in a cubicle every day and it's just a 9-to-5?
Yeah. I mean, if I had to, I mean.
And the highlight of your day is like literally taking a shit. Like you're like, oh, fuck, I get a little break. This is so nice. I'm pooping on company time. Like, yeah. Do you think you could ever have a job like that?
It would be really hard nowadays, but if I had to, I mean, I could sit in a cubicle again.
Okay. Have you, again? So you've done it.
I would much rather have a cubicle than what those people have.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't want anyone to
share.
I'd feel like
a shared space.
Like at least a cubicle, mm-hmm. like a real one. It's like a little office.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. You said again. So you've had a job like that before?
Yeah. I've had to be in a cubicle when I first started out in the fish business and also with the Rays.
Oh, okay.
I had my own little cubicle.
And how did you, forget about like the actual job, but just the environment. How did that vibe with who you are as a person?
I didn't really like it.
Yeah.
It kind of sucked.
Yeah.
You know, you sit there and there's really no one to look at except for your computer screen.
Yeah. That's horrible. My situation with Horn Blasters, it was like that, but it wasn't like that, if that makes sense. First of all, there was only like six of us in the room. We each had our own desk, but there was no walls separating anybody, which was really nice because then you could be on the phone and be like, what the fuck is that called again? And then they help you out sort of thing.
Sure.
So it was more of like
but
a
you still had your own little like space. Like,
had way more space, yes, because there was only like six of us in the main office. And it was nice to call out for help because I often needed it. Because especially for like the first 6 months, I didn't know what the compressor this and what's that for, and the valve is directional. What's a solenoid valve? You know, mm-hmm. all that sort of shit. So it was definitely helpful. But I don't think that I could live that lifestyle, and I think that's why we're all here, is because we're all a little bit offbeat, and it's hard for us to conform. And even when we try to conform, we fuck it up by talking about maybe people with epilepsy or making a tweet that no one's in the mood for. So that's why I'm so grateful that I'm here. And I know I mentioned this a lot, and even Blitz was talking about this, how like the smallest things can have the most like monumental effects on your life. You know, like had I not made that tweet, I wouldn't be working here. I wouldn't have a spouse. I wouldn't have anything. I'd still just be, you know, slumming away, working till 1 a.m., which I hated. I feel like in order to be a productive person, I truly mean this, you can't be getting your day started at like 6 p.m. Like that's just not conducive.
Well, no. Yeah, that doesn't sound fun at all.
Right, but even if you have like a full-time job, but if you start at like 4 or 3 or 4 in the afternoon, it's just you're waking up late, you feel like a bum. That's how I felt, you know, even though I was, especially when I got furloughed from Horn Blasters and I was only working at the Bone for, I think it was three months maybe before I got fired. I just felt like such a fucking bum because I would go to bed so late, wake up at 11.
How many hours a day were you working at the Bone?
Not like maybe 5 at the most. I'd go in an hour early to prep and then 4 on the air, and that was it every single day. Again, that was only for 3 months because before then I had the day job and the night job, and that was a little too overwhelming. But I did not feel productive. I lead a way more productive life now. Even though, you know, it's sometimes a little bit uncomfortable to wake up as early as we do, some earlier than others. Let me, what time do you wake up?
What, now? Like during the week? About 4:30.
4:30, okay. Yeah. And what time do you typically go to bed? Like how much sleep are you getting each night?
Depends on how much stuff I'm doing for like listening and trying to get like the previously and all that stuff done. I mean, it's been typically 10:30.
Okay.
Waking up maybe once or twice during the night.
To make urine? I've been doing that a lot lately.
Yeah, one's usually make urine, then the other one's to let the dog outside to pee.
Okay, and you typically don't have problems going back to bed? Because sometimes that can happen for me.
No, like how Bubba said too, like don't try to open your eyes, don't look at your phone, right. Stuff like that. I try to avoid doing all that stuff now.
Yeah. I did want to talk about this because I thought it was interesting, and it gave me pause because I started thinking about it, and I'm like, is this the case? There's a feminist author, which who cares, but she's saying that stay-at-home moms breed, quote, worse, more sexist men. So on one hand, I was thinking, you know, it's good to have somebody in the home paying attention to the kids. Like I think it's best if the parents are raising the children, that's probably the best. Instead of like a nanny or a caretaker or something like that. But then I started thinking, like, if you have boys and they grow up thinking like a woman should be in the home or a woman, you know, should be taking care of the kids or whatever the case may be, do you think that that is setting an example for a certain role of woman? I mean, obviously, how could it not? But is that necessarily even a bad thing?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
It says a controversial feminist author, Jill Philo, who cares, is preaching the, quote, overwhelming negative consequences of stay-at-home moms and social media watchdogs are coming for her. I don't know what she wants to happen. Like, then who does she want to raise the kids if not a parent in the home? Is she just saying that mom can't just be a stay-at-home mom? Mom's got to be a stay-at-home mom and a career woman? Because that sometimes is just not feasible. She detailed her stance that mothers create worse, more sexist men and women who are psychologically and emotionally worse off in a now viral Twitter whatever. So she's just saying, she's saying that, you know, like if the example of the woman is a woman at home taking care of the kids barefoot and pregnant, that is going to lead to sexist men or more sexist men. I don't necessarily think that is the case. Now, if dad is coming home drunk and beating the shit out of mom, maybe then that would lead to, you know, some fucked up ideas about men and women and relationships in general. But I don't think that this is really a problem. I think that as long as there is, you know, at least one, if hopefully more than one person paying attention to the children, then the children will probably be fine. Better, you know, better.
Yeah, this is horrible. Usually when the kid goes to school, you know, most of the time, you know, women usually get like a part-time job or something or some kind of activity.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how this, you can really be sex, you know, make it a sexist thing. For boys at home.
I think she's just saying that, you know, they see women in the home and that's apparently, you know, quote, where women are supposed to be. I don't really think that's the case.
So what happens when they go to school and the teachers are females or, you know, right. All the people are out?
Or what if you have two moms and one's in the home and one's at work?
Exactly.
Like, is that a problem? I don't know. I really don't have. I was actually watching this, you know, obviously I love Tim Dillon, and he had this woman on who was a comedian. Her name is Jessica Kirsten. She's actually really fucking funny. She has four children. From two different baby mamas. She is a lesbian. She has a daughter with her first wife, and then she has three daughters with her second wife. There's just a lot of estrogen in this whole family. And she was talking about, or I was thinking about in her case, you know, there's really no male figure present. And we always make jokes half-heartedly, but not really, about, you know, girls with daddy issues. When daddy's not around, it seems to enable certain characters to or mannerisms or behaviors to manifest. You know, we always talk about, oh, this girl has daddy issues and that's why she's a stripper or a hooker or just a slut, which is really the worst because they're not even getting paid for it at that point. But whatever the case may be, what about, you know, situations where there's no female figure present or no male figure present, do you think that really presents an issue for those children or not so much? And I'm not saying when I ask about this sort of stuff, I'm not saying like, should gay people be allowed to have kids? But what do you think the ideal situation would be? Would it just be a two-parent home? Doesn't matter the sex of the parents or...
The ideal? I think two parents... regardless of their sex, is probably better than one.
Sure. Yeah.
As long as they're on the same page and not like always fighting, then obviously that doesn't make sense. But, you know, a healthy family.
A peaceful home.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I mean, I think, you know, ideally it'd be a male and a female.
And then also you gotta relate too on like how the stress level is. I mean, yeah, you can have two parents, but if both of them are working, you know, 80 hours, 90 hours a week, and the kids, you know, not getting attention and just getting shoved off. Yeah. It doesn't matter realistically. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, a two-parent home of people of the same sex that's a happy, healthy family is much better than, you know, a male and a female that are not.
And they're
never
there, and the kid's in daycare, you know, until 7 o'clock, which is fine. But, you know, it's a stressful situation.
Right.
Right. I think it's probably just helpful as a child to have an example of, like, one of each, and that doesn't necessarily need to be in the home. You know, that could be a family friend or a coach or something like that.
Yeah,
that
someone close. I mean,
someone somewhat close that you spend enough time with that you can kind of use as an example. Because you know, even if you grow up to be a lesbian, you're still going to encounter men, and it's probably just like a good idea to have some sort of like reference of a positive role model of someone of that gender. Mm-hmm. I would think, but I don't think that necessarily means you're going to have daddy issues if you don't have a male present. Much like you said, Lami, as long as you have eyes on the kid, you know, that's really what I think is going to set you up for success. Because usually, you know, they talk about fatherless homes and things like that. I would say that it's less of a fatherless home and more of a single parent home, and people aren't looking after the kid. You know, mom's not around because she's maybe working three jobs, which leaves little Johnny to run the streets with the gang members. You know what I mean?
Or like sometimes, I'm not saying it's all the time, but like, you know, they have to go to the grandparents' house, you know, and maybe just the grandma, and you know, she's a little older.
Sure.
So sometimes the kid can get away with a little bit more.
Yeah. But even if you have like, you know, a grandma and an auntie and the mom, I feel like as long as you have people paying attention, because that's really what kids need is attention and guidance and love and care. And if you can get that, I don't think it really matters from what angle you're getting it at, as long as you are getting it. So that would be my take on it. Should we take a break like we do with Stay With Kurt?
Yeah, we should.
Okay, we'll take a little break, a few minutes, and we'll be right back.
Okay.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe, now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Welcome back to the after show with Anna Lummi and Blitz. We'll be with you for a few more minutes, maybe 15, 20, something like that. I hope you all are enjoying this royalty-free music. Hopefully it is royalty-free. I think it might be.
That's a YouTube one. Drops that bass hard.
Nice. This is an interesting, this is like a wannabe glitch sort of bass, drum and bass sort of deal.
Well, you know, if you're at a tailgate dropping these drops, everyone yeah. be over there partying with you.
Partying their ass off. I've never been to a tailgate before in my life, which I guess makes sense.
Lummi says if you're at a tailgate.
Oh, you mean like a rave?
I think that's what Lummi meant.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I've never been to a tailgate.
I was also saying tailgate like at a sporting because it was hard to try to video stuff with the music they were playing. I'm sure that you've never been to a tailgate.
No. Is it socially acceptable to bring like a baby to a tailgate? I'm asking. I'm not like accusing you of anything. But like, is it something that people bring their like kids to, and or is it? Does it get a little rowdy?
I think it depends on where.
Yeah,
I mean, okay. Like for what?
Yeah, for most sporting
like
events,
like a college event, is it? I imagine it probably gets kind of crazy. But what about for like a like if I go to a Lightning tailgate or something? Is it okay to bring a child? Is that socially appropriate? Will you get looks from people?
No,
like dirty looks.
No, I mean, even football games, I mean, it's mostly just kind of drinking, hanging out, and eating.
Okay.
I mean, you kind of know what tailgate you're going to go to. I mean, if it was like 19, 20-year-olds that are going to get crazy, you're not, probably not going to bring a baby to it.
All right. But I feel like for maybe the more professional things, it's maybe a bit more kid-friendly.
I suppose. Yeah, we're not going to show up to the EDM concert with
yeah,
a kid.
Yeah, probably not. I did kind of want to talk about this. Lummi, you and I were talking about Bill Maher yesterday.
Yeah.
And how he was on Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
And I didn't watch the whole thing by any means. I watched a few clips, as we do.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting stuff. You know, he kind of said what he said before in terms of he hasn't really, changed his position on anything. Because a lot of people are saying, he's moving to the right. He's becoming more conservative. And he's like, no, I'm not. I'm the same. Everybody else is going insane. Well, you know, when they talk about he made a few examples that I don't even know if I can bring up on YouTube because I don't want to get banned. But, you know, they made some jokes. They were talking about trusting the powers that be when it comes to health and stuff like that. And it was just nice to see two reasonable men or people for that matter, just discussing things without any sort of agenda. They're just like, hey, calling it as I see it. I don't really care if you're on the right or the left or whatever party you subscribe to. I'm just thinking that I'm a human being with a fucking brain that works, and a lot of this stuff isn't adding up. So it was nice to kind of have that. And Bill Maher's very clever. And, you know, I think I've always been a Bill Maher fan, even if I haven't agreed with everything he said. I would say now I'm probably a bigger fan than ever before, because it takes a lot of, and Rogan was saying this, it takes a lot of bravery to come out and be like, what the fuck are you guys talking about? Like, Democrats, you know, which was his party. He's like, what are you talking about? You can't defund the police, and, you know, calling them out on stuff, which, again, takes a lot of bravery, because a lot of people who used to be your fans are not, and a lot of times people threaten violence and whatever. It's just it's a brave, noble thing to do, to stand up for whatever philosophies that you believe in.
Well, it looks like also with Bill Maher is that he did come out a little strong, like you're saying.
Yeah.
And I think he started getting a lot of backlash.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's kind of backed it down a little bit. Neil Montpensier, $19.99 Super Chat.
Easy for you to say.
Yeah.
No one can say that.
But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because it looks like now he's kind of come out, because he went on, I think it was his last show on Saturday on HBO. I watched a little clip and he's like, oh, Fox thinks I'm on their side now. And then he just totally bashed
Fox.
Yeah.
Which is fine. Hey, listen, I think more than anything, this is making him, I don't want to say relevant again, but his name is in the news. He's circulating. Like, that's good for business. You know, even though it seems like it's not good for business, a lot of times any press is good press. Even if they're saying mean things about you, if their name is in your mouth, you are still a relevant person and people want to hear from you. I've seen him on Tucker a few times and stuff, which is odd, because I think he used to be frequent more on CNN and things like that. And now they've kind of turned their back on him. And he's like, listen, I'm going to go where the business is. If Fox wants to have me on because they think I'm on their side, then fucking so be it. So, and I don't know Tucker personally, but judging the fact that he's been on Bubba so many times and also watching his show, the man has a wicked sense of humor. Mm-hmm. He has a great sense of humor. Mm-hmm. So he's all about, you know, Tucker's all about free speech and people making jokes and being able to joke about pretty much anything. And I'm on that team for sure. But where this is leading me is, so I was watching a little Bill Maher, and then I came across this clip. And Lummi, I don't know if you saw it, because we're probably watching the same stuff, and it recommends videos that you may like. And Rogan had this guy on named Bobby Green, who I guess is a fighter.
And oh, yeah, the young guy.
Was
right?
It his?
Yeah.
I don't know if it was his, quote, dad, because Bobby Green is black, and this guy was white. And I was trying to just read the description of the episode, and it just said Bobby Green. It just said one person. But I'm like, who is that white guy that they were talking to? And this white guy who I think, again, I was trying to do a bunch of stuff like laundry and get ready to go to jujitsu and stuff. So I didn't really fully get it. But they had this white guy on and
that was
talking
was
about the
was it his father
was OK. His like adopted, because he said he was in foster care. And I was trying to, like, it's a 3.5 hour episode. So I was trying to, like, get to the parts where it would explain who this person was, because it wasn't in the description. But this guy, you know, the title of the video was, you know, how to survive prison as a first time prisoner. And I'm like, that's a great fucking question and topic, because, you know, people who've been in the system, or they know, you know, have been in and out of the system, know how it works. But if you're someone like me or Blitz or Lummi, and you, like, have never been to prison before, and suddenly you find yourself in prison with these, like, hard criminals, and there's a whole hierarchy and set of rules, and you might get raped and all this shit, like, how do you learn that? Because oftentimes, it's not like you're preparing to go to prison and doing research. It's like something happens, and then suddenly you find yourself in the system. So they were going over, like, these details about how he's learning all the fucking rules, and racists can't sit together. And this is in state prison. And, like, the guards have mandated rules where the races can't sit with each other to eat. And I don't think that they share the same cells. Like, you won't, if you're white, you're not going to have a black cellmate. I didn't know that. Because I guess once you get in the system, people congregate based on race. And they were just talking about all these different rules. And, like, did you watch this, Lummi? About,
well,
like, the keys to the race, and they're, like, the godfathers of each Klan.
I didn't see. We watched a different clip, but I watched where they were kind of explaining that the one guy, the white guy you're talking about, is his adopted dad.
That's who I thought
and
it
his
was.
Coach.
And his yes,
he does have his biological father. He does have several relationship with. But
he does. Okay. Yeah, because I was trying to gather like who he was, because when the clip started, it's just this guy telling the story. It doesn't really explain. And I was trying to, again, I was doing a bunch of shit, so I wasn't able to fully listen, but. It seems like there are all these rules, obviously, that you're unaware of. And this guy is like telling this. I've never seen Joe so fixated on every single word. It was like very compelling. And you know, it's a good clip when it feels like I was like, was that like 3 minutes? And it was like 16 minutes, you know, because I was just like, what the fuck? Like, you're hanging on this guy's every word about how it was to learn how the prison system works. And by prison system, I mean like as a prisoner. And he's telling me how he's getting jumped, and he like, you look at this person wrong and then you're on their shit list and they're going to kill you, and how the guards are in on it because they don't give a fuck. And I think that like at one point, and I could be wrong, they like wanted him, like the cops wanted him to get in a fight with this other guy so that they could, so he could basically either like kill him or beat the shit out of him or something. I don't know, but it was a really, really compelling story. But I just thought it was so interesting on how you learn that. Like that guy who fucking almost assassinated Reagan. Was he in prison or was he in an insane asylum, or do we know?
I don't think he actually was in prison at all. I think it was all mental hospitals, which, you know,
so, and
whatever.
I understand.
And his full release isn't until, like, June of this year.
Yeah.
But, like, he's obviously, like, out or somewhere where he can, like, play guitar and have, like, you know.
And travel.
Nice clocks on the wall. And, I mean, yeah. What so?
Yeah. So, and I understand that there's different levels of security. Blitz, do you know, like, is it, like, level state level 4 is like
for like prisons, you mean?
Yeah, where it's like the most violent criminals versus like white collar. I know that they don't intermix these people because obviously,
right? But he wasn't ever
violent.
In prison, so
no, I forget about that guy. I'm just saying in general, there are different levels of
right. Yes.
So if you are like Bernie Madoff, you're not going to be in the same prison cell as like a who was the guy in Wisconsin that was eating people? The gay guy.
Well, they'd be at a totally different prison.
What's his name? Why am I blanking on this? Come on, help
me out. Wisconsin guy that was eating people?
Yeah, the motherfucker was eating people. He was gay. Come on, Chad, help me out here. Mm. No?
Jeffrey Dahmer.
Jeffrey Dahmer. Thank you. So, like, Jeffrey Dahmer is not going to be in the same cell as Bernie Madoff.
Well,
right?
No, because he'd be like, Jeffrey Dahmer would probably be in like maximum security.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So, different levels, even if you're both in prison, even if you both have like a life sentence, it would be, mm-hmm. It would be different. Okay. And then I was thinking, like, how is it for women? Like, I know it's certainly, I don't think it's as violent in women's prisons, but I mean, these are rough bitches. Like,
yeah.
they probably fuck you up, you know. Mm-hmm. Maybe they can certainly like rape you, but there's limitations to probably what they can do, or maybe not, or maybe fucking not. I don't know. But this guy was just detailing how he was able to survive, and most of it was because he was like a fighter, his coach. So he's choking people out and he's doing this, and he's saying that, you know, he became the leader, but people were fighting him for it. And I don't know. I'm not doing it justice, but I urge everybody to go and take a few minutes to check it out.
Didn't his coach also fight like two guys off or something that were trying
yes.
to stab him?
They were trying to stab him because he gave, like, he helped a black guy out. So they said, you know, oh, he's turned his back on his own race. And he said he looked like a skinhead, this guy, this white guy, because he was white and he was bald when he went in.
I was going to say, I think he is still bald, isn't he?
Yeah. But he has some sprouts. He's not full alopecia Jones, but he, according to Dan, but he was like fully bald when he went in. And the white guys obviously just assumed he was on their side. And one of them wanted him to hold like a shank. He's like, yo, hold the shank. But if you get caught with that, that's an extra 2 years. And so he was only in there for like 2 years, and he didn't want to double his sentence to do some guy a favor. Well, you help a black guy out, or no, he played chess with a black guy. Some black guy was like, hey, who wants to play chess? And so he went and played chess with him. And then the white guys were like, oh, he's a traitor. Now we're going to kill him, sort of a thing. So, I mean, these are just crazy, insane criminals who all they know and what to do is just violence-based. So he gets tipped off by somebody that they're going to kill him, and his cellmate knew about it because apparently when they want to jump you and kill you, they have to tell your cellmate because when they open up the doors to the showers, they need the cellmate to be out of the way. So as soon as the doors open, the cellmate jets, leaves, and which leaves this guy open to get, you know, fucking shanked by these two guys. Mm-hmm. And he was saying that he's fighting off two guys, so it's obviously two against one. It doesn't really matter how great of a fighter you are. That's going to be a challenge. But he's like choking one out to the point where he renders him unconscious. And then he's using the unconscious guy as like a shield. Like, the other guy's punching him, but he's using the like dead guy. I mean, he wasn't really dead, but like as a shield. And you're just, Joe's like, what? Joe maybe said like six words during the whole segment because he's just like, whoa, what the fuck? And then Bobby Green is like smoking a blunt, just being like, yup, yup. Like, just kind of like, that's how it is. Crazy, you know. So it was just a crazy tale. And every time he would get in these fights, they'd have to move him. But then the guards would secretly be like, hey, thanks for doing that. Or because they just knew that he was a decent guy who wasn't really supposed to be there. Again, I tried to listen to the key points, but I was in a rush. But I think it was like a car deal gone bad. Like something happened. And he got something with a kidnapping charge. Again, I'm going to go listen to it today because it was a really fucking intriguing, interesting story. But I was like, that is really interesting because how do you know? Like, especially if you're in there for the wrong reasons and you're not really a violent criminal or whatever, and you just kind of get, you're in a bad situation, like, you're probably going to get raped. Like, you're probably, how do you learn the system? Who do you befriend? How do you prevent getting stabbed? Like, I guess, I don't know. It's just interesting stuff that I would like to learn more about. Not that I'm planning on going to prison anytime soon, but, you know, we'll see. It's just, I think it's just good information to know. There was something else that I wanted to talk about in terms of, and I was kind of hoping that, like, Dan would be here for this because it just, I feel like it pertains to him. It says, cops, surgeons, and homemakers are always the worst spouses, this said this lawyer, who I guess is she's a divorce lawyer. She said police officers, firefighters, and military men are just a few of the top five professions women should avoid in a spouse. Well, that seems
I'd like to hear why.
Yeah. She, who claims local divorce attorney, has special. Okay. Over the course of my career, I've watched my most difficult cases, and shockingly, many of them involve men in these five professions. In addition to cops, firemen, and soldiers, the alleged authority warned women against tying the knot with surgeons and pilots. She's saying, what I notice among these five professions is that they tend to be more narcissistic. They tend to be more controlling. They tend to be far more difficult in dealing with a divorce. They have a kind of nuke the earth, scorch the earth, how dare you challenge me kind of approach to litigation. But that's, I guess, only when things go wrong. Like, you know, maybe they're great spouses when things are going well.
Yeah, she's a divorce attorney, so she sees the worst of them. Yeah. So.
Right, right. It could be. But especially, yeah, if you are a cop, not saying you're a bad person or anything like that, but you have a lot of authority as a police person. Mm-hmm. Firefighters, I don't know. I feel like maybe not the actual career, but that maybe the type of people it attracts. Surgeons, I feel like anybody that is kind of deemed as someone that you call like in an emergency or something like that, that they feel like maybe they have a lot of power and a lot of say so. But, you know, maybe I don't think that should prevent you from tying the knot from people in these professions. It's just more like, you know, when things go bad, they really go bad. And that what can you do? What can you do? Let's take a call. Hello, who's this?
Oh, hey guys, Florida Stanley.
What's up, Florida Stanley? How are your arms doing?
Yo, that's why I'm calling. Let me mute you guys. Hold on, I got you on YouTube
now. Yeah, do your thing, man.
I was calling to do an update. So, Blitz, did you get my email that I sent last night?
I have not looked, no.
Oh, okay. So I sent a small update, which actually isn't accurate anymore, but I sent a picture. I was rocking my Let's Go Brandon Bubba Army t-shirt in the ER.
I did see that, actually. I did check on Facebook for one hot second. I think I saw you in there. And then there was also a photo of you in the water as well.
Yeah, that was right after the accident that my buddy took. If you zoom in on my face, you can see the amount of pain that I was in.
Now, was he like stop and smile, or was it more just for medical purposes? Where?
Wait, what are you talking about?
Like, why did he snap that shot of you in the water?
Oh, because it was funny.
Because he just got thrown off his
jet
ski.
Okay, so you may have been like paralyzed, or, you know, I mean, unable to use your arms ever again.
Doesn't
but
matter. It's still funny.
It's still cracked funny. A laugh. Okay, I got it.
Yeah, he pulled out his phone. He's like, I got to get a picture of this. I was like, all right, after that, pull me out of this water.
Yeah, okay.
All right, so I got the update from the spinal expert this morning.
Okay, great. What is it?
So the jet ski accident actually didn't cause this injury. I've had degenerative back disorder for the past, I guess, I don't know how long. He said years.
You didn't know this?
I didn't know about.
Okay.
No, I didn't know about it because the pain, it wasn't bad enough yet. So I didn't feel anything. And this jet ski accident basically triggered the pain instead of causing it.
Sure. That makes sense.
So it was actually kind of good that this happened because now I need back surgery. My spinal cord is swollen. They found bone spurs in my spinal discs where the cord like goes through.
That has nothing to do with the impact of your accident?
Well, it is. The impact caused my cord to swell.
Okay.
Which isn't a huge deal. Like, they just need to raise my blood pressure to make that go down. But when they were checking everything around my neck, that's when they found the bone spurs. And they're like, listen, these are going to get bigger. And it's good that we found this now, because in a couple of years, or 10, 15 years, they would have gotten a lot worse and it would have been, you know, too late.
Right.
So it's actually kind of good that this happened. I'm staying off pain meds. I refused all pain meds because I watched Dope Sick and fuck that.
Bro, go get the prescriptions anyway. Maybe give them to a friend that needs them.
All right. I won't be making it to $199. I need back surgery in 2 weeks, so they're keeping me in the hospital for a while.
That surgeon must need a new car.
Well, they need to grind down the spurs, and they may need to fuse a disc or two. They're not sure yet.
Jesus. So what kind of mobility do you have with your hands, if anything at all, or you don't?
So the steroids, up until last night, they got me in my own room now, but last night I was in the ER.
Okay.
And I only had about 10% control of my fingertips. But then they started giving me the steroids.
The corticosteroids.
Prednisone?
Yeah.
I don't know what it is.
Reduce inflammation.
IV.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's an IV. But now I have about 50 to 60% control of my fingertips. The pain is still there because I'm refusing pain meds, but at least I can move my fingertips around now.
Okay. Now, are they numb or just no control?
I was just going to ask that.
So there is numbness in some of them. So my pointer finger, and it's just equal on both
well,
sides.
I just have a very important reason. So, like, if you jerk off, does it feel like it's someone else?
No. Yeah, well, it hurts. Well, that sucks. I can't squeeze anything.
Oh, is it like when your hand falls asleep when you're sleeping and then you wake up and it's like it hurts but it's kind of numb?
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly that. So typing, I got my laptop with me because I own a company. I still have to run my company.
Yeah.
So typing on my laptop, it feels like every key has a thumbtack on it.
Ugh. Yeah. That's not good.
Well, will you try what Blitz said? Will you try what Blitz said and report back to us? Get a rubber band.
If you don't have good grip, you can use a rubber band around your hand for the grip.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I'll give it a shot.
There you go.
You should. I mean, that might be a new thing.
Actually, when I go to get in the shower, they've got the pulsating head.
Perfect.
There you go.
Put that on your anop
ALOP. I need to go buy a jet ski and fall off it a few times.
There you go.
Sounds great.
All right, guys.
Well, I'm like, you know, as much as it sucks, I'm glad you're getting better. I mean,
yeah, me too. And you're in good spirits. Yeah.
Well, and like I said, this is the doctor said that this might actually be a good thing that this accident happened now, because if my back problems got worse, then it would have been too late and I would have been, you know, permanently limited on mobility.
Jesus. Well, it's weird to say I'm thankful for this accident, but I guess I kind of am.
Yeah, well, as soon as I recover, my jet ski's getting tuned and going to 80-plus miles an hour.
Oh, so. Jesus.
Hell yeah. Which one? What do you have?
I bought a brand-new Sea-Doo GTX Limited 300.
Okay, nice. Yeah, you can soup those up.
Yeah. Well, bone stock, all you need is a tune and intake kit, and it takes it up to, like, 350 horsepower.
Yeah. Put a new Solus impeller on it or something. Maybe you're good to go.
Yeah. Yep, 80. Yeah, I'll be doing 80 plus whenever I recover.
Beautiful. I'm glad you're not learning from your lessons. This is amazing.
No,
thank you
gotta
so much.
Go faster.
I never learn from my lessons. Come on.
I'm kidding.
Always go faster.
No, but go ahead.
I've taken my motorcycle up to, I clocked my motorcycle on GPS at 186 miles
an hour.
Sure
you did. I'm sure you did.
You couldn't get to 200, pussy?
So, A, my bike wouldn't go that fast. B, my bike was a little bit older, so it wasn't the most aerodynamic, and my handlebars weren't covered. So as soon as I hit 180 miles an hour, my hand started slipping off the handlebars. It's not like a Busa where the handlebars were completely covered.
Mm.
So the wind resistance was actually pulling my hands off the handlebars, which is why I only went to 186 and slowed down.
Now you don't have hands, so there you go. all right, buddy. Thank you so much for calling in. I'm glad you're getting better. You're in good spirits. You'll be back to you know, normal stat
I'll call
in no
on Monday probably with another update. Over the weekend, they're running a bunch more tests on me, so I'll probably call Monday or
Tuesday. Try to call in when Dan's here.
Yeah, I'm going to. I was going to call in this morning, but I actually was able to get some sleep. So
okay, there you go. Good. You probably need sleep.
Yeah, Blitz, check that email. Put the picture up on your Facebook on the Bubba Army Facebook.
Okay.
All right. See you guys.
Absolutely, Stanley. Take care of yourself. And I think that pretty much wraps it up for us. I'm playing the next track on the CD. Hopefully that's okay.
Yeah, it should be. The whole CD is good.
Good. Guys, thank you so much for listening. We will be back tomorrow at 6 a.m. for the Friday show. They'll be in Off the Rails with Blummel following that show. And we'll see you guys tomorrow. Thank you, Lummy. Thank you, Blitz. We'll
thank
see you tomorrow.
You.
See you.
Bye.
See you.